Hey, JTR listeners, this episode was recorded 24 hours ago, Sunday morning. A few hours later, we heard about a mass shooting at a Madden tournament in Jacksonville. Just want to send our deepest condolences to all the victims that was impacted by the tragic event. It's been a very, very tough 24 hours. So sending positive vibes to our gaming community out there and the esports community too. Stay strong, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 789. This is your host, Danny, and joining us this week, of course, the whole Gamertag Radio crew. Let's start with Paris. Paris, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up with you?
Hey, I'm just trying to live my best life, man. You know how that goes.
Yeah, hear you. Have you been playing any games this week or not really? You've been taking a break from games or what?
I finally did the underground on the Division, got to roll through with, one of our good Ubisoft friends and, a couple, Division community members who are ringers in the community. I mean, these are like two of the top tier guys. So we just ran through the underground. They were explaining everything to me. It was really good. So I got to pick up the shield for that. So I had a lot of fun with that. And, you know, I know I talk about it too much, but, you know, I've been playing some Destiny 2, getting ready for Forsaken coming up here on the 4th.
Awesome, man. Cool. Now, for that, the Underground, was that like a long session, very quick? Because, you know, they really know everything about the game.
It
took you a long time or not really?
I think we played, a couple hours together, something like that, okay, to get the shield. But, you know, again, mm-hmm, running through with them, you know, they got all the best weapons and gear and everything. So it wasn't super hard challenge. I was kind of the fourth guy just running up and going, hey, I helped too, kind of thing. But they explained, you know, what the underground was, how it worked, you know, going after the hunters, things like that. So it was cool. It's definitely a neat little feature that they have in the Division. So I hope that translates over to the Division too.
Awesome, man. And also joining us this week is Pete.
What's up?
What's going on, Pete?
What's up, dude?
What's up, man? What about you, Pete? Have you been playing anything this week?
Well, last night, got a couple of chicken dinners with GTR community member Beaker. And then awesome. Friday night, I played The Division. I was supposed to play that night with Paris, but unfortunately, I had a work emergency. I had to dump out and was on a phone call till 3 a.m. Joy. I got to do a survival mode with some more community members. I think it was Duffy, aforementioned Ubisoft friend, and a couple of others from the GTR community. So shout out to them. And then yesterday morning got to play with Blazin911. He's one of our GTR community members living in Japan. So him and I ran through the underground yesterday as well. But we were playing on Friday night survival, which doesn't matter what everybody else is wearing or has or their level, because you start off at zero, dying from, you know, from the disease. It's one of my favorite features and modes of The Division. Would curious to know if they're actually bringing that back into The Division 2.
Ooh, man. Yeah, I've been playing lately. Of course, Dead Cells, not going to stop playing that. And I've been playing the old school game, man, Shenmue 1 and 2. This game came out during the Sega Dreamcast. So right now I've been playing part 1. I'm almost done with the first one. And I was telling Paris, like, yo, this game was, like, so ahead of its time, man. Like, you're playing it now, of course, you know, some of the things it's like, oh, whatever, you know, like, the dialogue is, like, not the greatest and stuff. But I just love the overall story. And at that time, open world, this is, like, the first game where someone tells you, hey, come tomorrow at noon, and you have to wait a certain time, go to that location, you know, to meet up with that person. Like, it felt different and so ahead of its time when I played this back in 2000 for the Sega Dreamcast, man. And actually, I've been working on this. I'm probably going to have the voice actor of the lead character of the game, Corey Marshall. He's going to join us hopefully this week. And we're going to talk about Shenmue 1 and 2. And I believe he's also involved with 3 that's coming out next year. So I'm going to talk to him about how was it working on that game back in the days and stuff, man. Because, yo, it brought back a lot of memories, man, playing that game. For the past few days and stuff, man. And Paris, you got to play that game for the Dreamcast back then or not?
No, I did not.
No? Okay. Yeah, but it's the game is dope, man. I think it was really cool still, man, you know? So I'm excited for 3. I'm playing...
Wait, what am I saying? What the hell am I saying? Yes, I did. It's too early.
Okay.
It's too early. Yeah. Okay. No, yeah. I mean, look, you remember we had the conversation. It was literally ahead of its time. At that point, I again, we'll see with 3 what they do. But yeah, no, I played it.
Yep. And what was it to you that the reason you think it was ahead of its time? Like for me, it was more of like just exploring and going to the stores and buying stuff and playing arcades and also like checking out the time. Actually, I was traveling so much that it was already close to Christmas. And then you go to the town and they convert the whole area, like, you know, to celebrate the holidays. You see Santa Claus walking around and stuff. It's cool, man. It's cool. But for you, what was it that
It was one of the earlier attempts at an open world type game where you can just walk around, go do whatever you want, that kind of thing. And I'm sure I'm wrong. I know I got to be missing something here, but wasn't it one of the first fully voice acted games? I feel like it was. I feel like that was a big deal back then, that you had the full voice actor thing.
Yeah, I can't remember because I know there was certain games that they had, but it wasn't fully. It was like maybe some of it was voice and some of them was like text and stuff. Yeah. So, yeah.
But I just remember, I remember it being a big deal when Shenmue came out and just the story that was surrounding it. And like I said, just the lead character, the voice acting, kind of the, like I said, the semi-open worldness of it. If that game were to come out, again, we'll see with 3, what they do with 3, but if that were to come out now, I could really see them expanding on it and doing a lot more with it. I think one of the downfalls of it was a lot of the quick time event gameplay options. Obviously, they could clean that up and make that a little more robust going into the third one, but I remember really enjoying the original Shenmue when it first came out. Cause like I said, I don't think there was anything else like it at that time.
You never played 2, right? Cause it came out for the Xbox.
Yeah. You know, that's what I was thinking of when you said that. No, I did not play 2.
2 is really, really good. Much better than 1. 1 was more of an experiment and of course introduction of the characters, but 2, they learned a lot from the first one and they added a lot of new things there too, man. Cause I mean, we're going to change the topic here, but one of the things that I don't like about the game is, let's say I've done everything for that particular day. I have to wait until a certain time to go back to the house. Then I go back to sleep. Then I wake up and then go back to the city, to the town, and so on. Like, you know, I wish there was like a way for me to fast forward time instead of just waiting until it hits like a certain time for me to go back to the house. That was the only thing that was annoying for me. And, of course, some of the dialogues and stuff. But, yeah. All right. Guys, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Put your comments and feedback. Also, you can check us out at different podcast directories, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories for sure. Make sure to post a review, share with your friends, family, and spread the word about GTR.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so one of the topics that we have here, and I think this news came out like a week ago or so, and it's about Microsoft reporting to offer a Xbox One consoles and services as a subscription. Very, very interesting topic here where you buy the console, you pay monthly, but also you will get Xbox Game Pass, you will get Xbox Live. Don't know if it comes with a free game or not, But I think if you buy the Xbox One S, that one will be cheaper. Like, you will actually save money if you buy that one. But if you also decide to get the Xbox One X, you would lose $20. So your thoughts about this thing that is not official yet, but it might be coming up in the near future. What are your thoughts about this, guys?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I like having, again, it's an option. It's not something you're going to be forced into getting, but to bundle everything into one monthly payment. And basically after 2 years, you own the hardware, right? That's kind of the whole point of this. But I think from Microsoft's standpoint, it gives consumers, you know, a quote unquote low cost option of entry into the Microsoft ecosystem. You're going to get the hardware. You're going to have Xbox Live Gold. You're going to have Game Pass, which I think is the golden goose of this entire thing. Because like I was telling Danny offline, so if you were, let's just pretend, we're going to pretend right now. Let's just pretend that November 2018, they kick this off at whatever price point they do for the One S and the X, right? So let's say I get the X and I do the bundle and I get Game Pass and I'm doing that. It's great. At November 2020, I now own that Xbox One X. I can do whatever I want with it. The new consoles come out. I then roll that subscription and I basically re-up for whatever the new hardware is. Maybe they have a trade-in option I can do to lower the monthly cost going into the next-gen consoles. Or I just sell the Xbox One X outright. Or I just keep it, whatever. But the point is, at the end of that 2 years, no matter what you do with that hardware you now own, whether you get the next one or you just keep it and keep going, you've now had 2 years of Game Pass. You are now used to every Xbox game that comes out and any third party that participates, you're getting their games for free. They're just a part of whatever you want. You just see it, you download it, and you play it. You're used to it. You're not going to stop paying for Game Pass. And I think that's, no matter what happens at the end of that 2 years, they're going to get you and you're going to stay on Game Pass because why not? It's going to seem like a great bargain. Again, what is it? 120? What is it? 120 a year? Is that what it is? Game Pass?
120 years, $9.99 a month.
Yeah. So you're screw it. You're going to do it. $10 a month. You're going to keep that. And I think of all this of what they're trying to do, that's the most important thing, because now you're part of the Microsoft ecosystem. You're playing games in their ecosystem, be it on their hardware, be it on the PC, because of Game Pass, which like I said, in the long run, we're going to look back at the launch of Game Pass as being one of the biggest evolutions in gaming, turning gaming into a Netflix style subscription service. And as we can see already in its early days, it is already worth the price of entry. Imagine once Xbox gets their stuff together and these new studios that they've acquired start pumping out all these games that are exclusive to that platform. You get them all for $10 a month. It's a no-brainer. So long story short, yeah, I like this move that they're doing. It gives people options, and it's the all-in-one bundle that I think makes a lot of sense from Xbox.
I think it's a smart move, especially with the whole games as a service concept, you know, running through gaming. There's a correction on the numbers. I had to redo the numbers because I thought that there was a 1 year discount where you only paid like $10 or you paid $100 for a 1 year subscription for Games Pass. Apparently there isn't. It's just straight $10 a month, period. There is no thing. So the numbers are a little bit more skewed, but towards the positive. So there's actually $130 savings on Game Pass if you go with the Xbox One S, the alleged $22 a month report. For the tier one, you get the Xbox One S. For the Xbox One X version, you actually save $16. So no matter what, there's still a savings, you know, involved with it. So again, okay. I think it's a great idea. Like Paris says, you after 2 years, you own the console. The hardware is yours, regardless of whether you choose to move on or you want to continue with the Xbox, you know, ecosystem. And you know, again, like as Paris said, you're invested. It's almost like, I guess you could call this the iPhone you know, the iTunes mentality where you go in and you have this entire ecosystem available to you. And it's not just, and you know, you get the movie stuff as well now too. So you have the whole entertainment plus the gaming package. We're literally seeing, you know, Bill Gates's future as he originally envisioned the Xbox is to be that centerpiece of your living room. So again, having all of those, and I don't know if it needs to have a game bundled in there. You have Game Pass. You have an F ton full of video, you know, an F ton of video games in your vault off the rip. So do you need to have a game bundled off, you know, right off the beginning?
No, the reason why I said that is because, you know, easily Microsoft could say, oh, yeah, you will get a free game and you could subscribe. Like, no, it's just more of a promotional.
But like Pete's saying, they are doing that. It's called Game Pass. They just say, hey, look,
hundreds of video games.
Yeah, here you go. Pick whatever one you want, you know?
And you have all of their first party titles. Why would you need to bundle in another title to the vault as, you know, to the whole bundle? It makes no sense. You have hundreds plus all of their first party titles ready to go right off as soon as you power it up.
I'm going to take it back because this is not the first time that a gaming company has done this. You know, during the Sega Dreamcast days, this is when Sega was already like going downhill because of PlayStation and everything. And they decided to do a subscription service like this where you sign up for SegaNet. This is their online service back in the days. It was $9.99. Once you sign up for that and you pay for 2 years, you would get also a Sega Dreamcast for free. So it didn't really work out for them because I think marketing-wise, not a lot of people knew about that. Like, it was only like the hardcore audience heard about this deal. But the thing with Microsoft, with this one, they could actually promote this big time, especially now during the holidays. You know, Halo Master Chief Collection comes out in September, and just promote that big time. And at the same time, push Game Pass. And like you said, Paris, 2 years from now, now everybody knows about this. And a lot more people could do the same thing for the new consoles now, especially the college kids. They don't have the money to buy an expensive console. Man, paying this super cheap every month in college, dude, perfect, man. Perfect deal, I think, man. Now, do you see that other companies doing this, like, you know, Sony and Nintendo in the future, or you think they're going to still stick with the whole pay the console instead of having a service like this?
No, I mean, they'll probably use Microsoft as a test case. If this winds up being a smashing success, then yeah, why not? Breaking the fourth wall, because there's talk in our Twitch chat right now asking about, well, what if someone defaults on it? Because I thought about this too. I'm like, well, what the hell if 6 months in I decide I ain't gonna pay no more? I got the Xbox already. You can't make me take it back. What are you gonna send? You're gonna send Guido and them to my door, you know, and take it back? But what I think would happen is it would be like any type of credit subscription service where you're basically signing a contract. You're probably gonna have to give your social security number to do this.
Oh yeah.
So if you do default, they're just gonna send you to collections, and now it's gonna affect your credit score. That whole thing. So to me, that would seem to be the logical thing, and I also assume this would have to have some type of 2-year warranty attached to it. So if for whatever reason your Xbox breaks during that time frame, you'll be able to return it, and or not return it, but they'll fix it or swap it out, whatever the case. One other thing Danny and I were talking about offline, how are they going to sell this to you? Is it going to be an online only thing, or are they going to do a brick and mortar thing? And my thought on that was, obviously they can use the Microsoft store, but the Microsoft store isn't everywhere. So I could really see them partnering with a Best Buy as an example to also be an option, or Best Buy, Walmart, whatever, to be able to do this, similar to, again, how Apple and all the cell phone companies do it right now as well. You can walk into one of those brick and mortar stores, sign up for your subscription, and you can get the hardware right then and there. So again, that would also seem to be a logical thing for them to be able to do, to push this out for ease of use. So, I think it's a great idea. I don't see this being a bad thing. It's just a choice. No one is going to force you to buy into this. But if the more successful it is, going back to Danny's original question, absolutely, I could see PlayStation and Nintendo attempting to do something similar.
Yeah, the positives outweigh the negatives. Going back to the credit thing, I'm assuming they're going to need to do some kind of a credit check on you before you go in. They're not just going to give it to every, you know, every little Johnny Q public that walks into the store. I'm assuming you have to have a specific baseline credit score before they even approve you to get this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there are, you know, they have their own little methods of fail-safe to protect themselves in the event somebody tries to default. Again, the positive definitely outweigh the negative. If you have the opportunity to do it and you're not in there yet, $22 a month really isn't a bad deal. I mean, I probably spend more than $22 on unneeded, useless stuff a month anyway, so...
Man, and now that Microsoft is going to be adding all these first party titles, especially the new games, for starting now in September, it's going to be good, man. Forza Horizon, you know, is there anything else coming out?
That's it for them
for this year.
And then Crackdown early next year, and then Gears will probably be holiday of next year. I know Ori 2. Falls in there somewhere. The Cuphead DLC is in there somewhere. That's all I can think of. I can't think of anything else.
You'll get the third party titles here and there, like the older ones too.
That isn't what we're just talking about. We're talking first party. So stop.
First party. Yeah, I know, Paris. Party. I'm just saying.
Hey, PUBG.
There's third party. You know. Should they do that with PUBG?
Why not? It's a first party.
Well, not exactly first party, Pete. That's not first party. That's not first party at all. They have a marketing deal with them, but it's not a first party exclusive.
I guess. Yeah,
it's all good. We forgive you. All right, so let's go with the next topic, and this is a positive news, because you know we've been talking about this. You know, Assassin's Creed. It's been now back to back new games every year, right? But during an interview at Gamescom, it's confirmed that there is no new Assassin's Creed game coming out next year, 2019, which is great. I think it's good to take that little break, work on your game, add some new things, and it's possible maybe the new game is coming out for the next gen consoles and stuff.
Well, so, that's exactly what they're doing.
Your thoughts about this?
That's exactly what they're doing. Yep. That's why they're taking the break. They're not going to put one out in 2019. Hold it off to 2020. It'll be a cross generational title that'll launch on the current gen, and it'll also be a next gen title as well. Very similar to what they did with Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Now, me personally, and I said this at E3 at the time or right before when Odyssey got leaked, I'm just going to keep it real. I have zero interest in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I played Assassin's Creed Odyssey at E3. It was all right, but why not just expand upon the lore of Origins? There was no reason to drop a full retail $60 Assassin's Creed this year for Odyssey when all... sorry, but to me, it's nothing but a reskin of Origins. That's really what it is for me. And I could be wrong, yell at me... Vicious 696 on Twitter. People do it all the time. All the time. I see no point even in this game. So it'll be very curious to see what the adoption rate of Odyssey will be this year. But for them to not do one next year, like you said, to me, it's a good thing. I don't think Assassin's Creed should be an annual series anymore. I really don't. I think give me Assassin's Creed every 3 years. I think that would be an amazing thing, because you drop it, and then you have expansion packs with it. You can explore that current world of Assassin's Creed. And then in the third year, now we get the next version of Assassin's Creed. And whatever studio is working on, and I know they stagger them already as it is, they get 3 full years, maybe even longer, of development time, depending on the way they stagger it, to keep making Assassin's Creed. It's a great IP, but we obviously saw the fatigue with it during like that whole Unity era, right? And they took the break, came back with Origins that pumped some life back into it. Then they come with Odyssey a year later, and I'm rolling my eyes again already. So I would rather see Assassin's Creed take their time. Obviously, we'll see what this next-gen version of it's going to be in 2020, you know, when the new consoles come out. But even when that game drops in 2020, please don't come out with another one in 2021. We don't need that. We really don't. Take your time. Look, Ubisoft has enough titles in their portfolio that they don't need to keep pumping out Assassin's Creed every year. They don't.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Echoing those sentiments. I mean, I think Origins probably could have been better served starting off in a much earlier era of Egypt, and then have it grow over 2 to 3 years into where it started, I guess you could say. The one positive I have to say about Odyssey is that it's going into the Greek mythology. We're seeing, you know, all of those, you know, mythological heroes and villains, Medusa, etc. That actually appeals to me because as a kid growing up, I loved Greek mythology. And, you know, who knows? Maybe we start seeing, you know, maybe Norse mythology, right? You start seeing the Vikings and things like that. But I think going into Odyssey, I think it's a perfect setting in and of itself, a setting that could span several, you know, iterations and DLC and things like that. Let them survive throughout the rest of this generation until the next gen platforms start coming out. And then, as Paris said, you know, drop a new one in a totally different era. I would love to see feudal Japan. And I think that's one that could support another 2, 3, 4 year span of, you know, letting them do games as a service the way they've been doing for everything else with For Honor, Rainbow Six, Ghost Recon. Follow that same mentality. Let it go for 2 years and keep dropping expansions on it as a service and keep going. There's so many others. And I think that if they followed that, as Paris saying, 2 to 3 years, I think 2 years is okay. Obviously, the more you give it, the more you can do. So 2 to 3 years, I'm okay with that. Give me a 28-month development title or title drop. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, I think 2 years is good, in my opinion. Let's say it's multiple studios working on the title, and they give them at least 3 years to work on it, like each studio. I think that's fine with me. 2 or 3 years, agree. Totally agree with you, Pete. Pete, I know you sent also some extra topics here that you want us to talk about?
Yeah. First and foremost, obviously, Battlefield 5.
I like how he puts it on you instead of just saying them.
Yeah.
Because he didn't read it. Because he didn't read it. That's why.
Please continue.
He wants me to do it because he didn't read it.
No, I did read it. I'm not gonna talk about certain topics that I really don't know much about. So I'd rather.
Which means he didn't read it. Which means he didn't read it.
I did.
So an analyst, I don't remember where he's from, but he's saying that the Battlefield 5 low pre-order number is alarmingly and potentially similar to Titanfall 2's situation, where their alleged pre-sale numbers are, you know, essentially going to hurt the launch of Battlefield 5. Granted, it's already going up against the juggernaut known as Red Dead Redemption, and we've seen a bunch of other AAA titles essentially avoid that end of the month. There's actually one other title that surprised me that is actually launching that same day. It's My Hero One's Justice. I was talking about it yesterday with Beaker. I get it that in that regard, that anime, you know, My Hero Academia is one of the biggest animes in the planet right now. But launching your title the same day as Red Dead Redemption 2 is suicide. And whoever approved that in the boardroom needs to get transferred down to the mailroom. That being said, I don't think Battlefield 5 is going to be hurt by these low numbers or these alleged low numbers. Those numbers are only, if I'm not mistaken, based off of the pre-order data from Amazon and doesn't include like GameStop, Best Buy, all the other major markets, or even direct digital downloads. So I think that information might be skewed as well. And at the end of the day, those are just, you know, reported numbers. People buy them day of, a day after, or whatever. I don't think it's going to be something that we see similar to the Titanfall 2 situation. Titanfall 2 essentially, went dumpster diving because it was launching in that one week span between Call of Duty and Battlefield in the first place. So I don't think there's going to be an issue. And I think that trying to position this title in that same vein is wrong because, I mean, yeah, you're putting it between, let's say, Black Ops and Red Dead Redemption, but I think that those franchises stand alone and stand apart from a lot of other titles, especially based on the history, based on, you know, the previous performance of those titles over the last 5 to 10 years, that it doesn't matter. They can launch yearly without a problem. They're going to hit their numbers, and I don't think it's going to be a problem.
All right. I mean, I think, like you said, P, a lot of the fans will just pre-order digitally and wait until it closer to the launch. And plus, maybe they just want to wait and play or find out more information about the different modes and stuff. I think that it's going to excite them and get them hype and probably just pre-order the game after they play. Or maybe they just want to play Call of Duty Blackout, the beta, when it comes out in a few weeks. Maybe that will change their mind. Maybe they're debating, man, should I go with Call of Duty? Should I go with Battlefield?
It's one of the things that's held me off. That's one of the things that's held me off from pre-ordering Black Ops. Yeah, yeah. I had a lot of fun with the multiplayer beta, but I want to see what the Blackout beta does. If that doesn't if that doesn't push me towards the title, I really don't see myself pre-ordering it. And it's funny because there's another analyst firm that's predicting that Battlefield 5 will outsell Red Dead Redemption 2, which is a possibility. I mean, there's a large generational gap between the original title and, you know, gamers that are just coming into, you know, the industry now as consumers. They don't know about Red Dead Redemption. They're wondering why is the industry and consumers all in an uproar about this title. They have no history or experience with it. Why is Red Dead Redemption 2 such a, you know, why is everybody freaking out about it? And that might lead them to actually buy it because of the hype surrounding the title. So it's curious to see. I mean, will it be as successful with it? I mean, we know Rockstar is a giant. They're almost bulletproof. You know, everything they drop is, you know, turns into a money pit for them in a good way. So we'll see. We'll see.
I think one of the issues that I also have to bring up, I think, and Paris was with us. I mean, he was with me at the Call of Duty review event. I mean, compared to Destiny, it wasn't crazy, like big and all that. I think it was the right amount for that game. But there was an excitement there with the crowd, right? And there was a lot of more information. They had a press conference kind of, you know, for the reveal. EA didn't do that for Battlefield. To me, the press conference where they had the review event for that game was very boring. They had a celebrity, they had all the influencers there, and they talked about the game and so on. But it wasn't, compared to the Call of Duty review event, that to me was more exciting than the Battlefield one. So I think that's also, I think that's part of the problem. How are you going to get the fans or the hardcore fans excited for that game? It can't be just sitting down and just having a conversation. They got to be something there, man. Something was missing in that, my opinion. Paris?
Well, first off, we don't know how accurate this report is because, as an example, you can't get a physical copy of the game off of Amazon, I believe. I think you can only get it digitally right now. And there's some other factors as well as far as just the tracking numbers of it. I know the way it's being tracked, that changed at some point as well. But overall, what I'm saying, don't 100% believe what you read, right? This is one analyst's view on this. But with that said, logically, when you look at when it's releasing, when you look at how they revealed this thing at EA Play, which I know I was rolling my freaking eyes, it didn't show well. I remember we were talking about this last week or the week before. I couldn't remember. It was still World War II, World War I, the Korean War, Vietnam. I don't know what the hell we were playing this in, right? Because it didn't grab me enough that I cared enough to track the theater that they're going to have Battlefield 5 in. So I'm not anticipating it. I'm not looking forward to getting this at launch. I mean, if it has a great word of mouth down the road, maybe I pick it up later. I'm interested to see what their take on the battle royale genre will be, because like I was saying previously, I think DICE has a better shot at getting it right than who's a Treyarch doing than Treyarch will with Call of Duty, you know, in comparison to obviously what we already see with Fortnite and PUBG. So I'm very curious to see what their take on it will be, but not enough that I'm going to drop $60 at launch to go pick this up, especially with all the competition that will be surrounding it during that time frame. Because like Pete said, it's coming out the same time as Red Dead. No one's playing this game, you know, when it comes out. They're not, unless they're just hardcore into Battlefield. And compared to the semi you know, hardcore and the casual, they're probably going to be playing Red Dead or something else during that week. They're not going to pick up Battlefield. So it does not shock me to hear that there's low pre-order numbers for Battlefield 5. And I think it just plays into the overall just sentiment right now about EA as a company. And again, we already talked about this, so I'm not trying to go back down that rabbit hole, but I can't think of anything coming out of EA right now that excites me. And that's a damn shame. But that's just me. I'm not saying that's the case for everyone. But for me, they don't have anything that is grabbing me right now. And I won't say the A word because we already know how I feel about that game too.
Yeah. Anything else, Pete?
Not regarding that, no. I mean, and there is, I mean, I guess we can kind of roll into the next topic, which is, you know, NVIDIA doing their announcement of the new 2080 series. In the trailer for that, they kind of unveiled this technology called RTX or ray tracing technology. But in their announcement for Battlefield 5, they finally showed what a lot of people are assuming is going to be their battle royale component, which is that ring of fire starting to compress. I thought that was really cool. Now going into the actual cards, they announced the 2070, the 2080, the 2080 Ti. They also announced, the 27 starting at $500, jumping up to $800 for the 2080, and then 2080 Ti is about $1,200. Looking at the normal 20%, give or take, performance performance increase, going into these new series cards over the previous 1080 series. I know Paris is still probably not going to get this because he's holding off.
Don't talk for me. You don't know what I'm going to do.
For you.
Fight. I your lips say what I'm going to do. You speak for yourself.
No, you've been very vocal about your holding.
Doesn't matter what I mean. That changes my mind. You don't know what I'm going to do. You know what I'm going to say.
You're not going to do it this year. You
maybe I got
it.
One pre-order right now. Maybe right off screen. I'm just going to slide and slander. It into the screen.
Lies and slander. No, I don't see a reason for me to even buy it. I don't think myself is going to do it. Who knows? Maybe as we get closer to the year and things change, I may. But right now, I don't see a reason to let go of the 1080 Ti. It does everything I need it to do. I know Danny doesn't even have a leg in this race. I'm not even going to bother asking him.
Xbox One X, that's the closest for me.
It's like me when y'all go into Nintendo talk. Paris, if you had the money, if money wasn't an issue at this point, would you upgrade to the 2080 Ti? If you didn't have to pull out the PowerPoint and do the goddamn presentation for the wife, do you see a viable reason for it?
I'm going to hedge and say yes and no. If money was an object, screw it. Just throw money in there and just go get it, right? Because obviously it's the latest and greatest. Slap it in my PC, fine. It's better than a 1080 Ti. So I get it in that sense. No, because currently I'm not going to see a real advantage with it. Yeah, my frame rate might jump up to every game I play is a rock solid 4K 60, or I don't have, because like I'll just take Far Cry 5 as an example. Far Cry 5, if I have everything at ultra at 4K, it hovers depending on the area I'm in the high 50s to low 60s, right? Whereas like what NVIDIA is promising with the 2080s is everything's 4K 60 because you're getting the power bump to be able to support it. Here's a problem that I see. You're really not going to be able to take advantage of these 2080. I'll just take the Ti because it's the most powerful. The 2080 Ti until these 4K high frame rate monitors start coming down in price to when I can legitimately have a 4K G-Sync 144 hertz monitor that isn't going to cost me a third mortgage to be able to get. When those prices come down, I really think it makes a lot of sense to want to run out and go get one of these cards. Yes, I would have to pull out a PowerPoint right now to try and justify, because I can't justify it. I literally don't even know what the hell I would say to Roxanne to justify me getting it. She go, well, what the hell are you getting it for?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't justify it. That's kind of the problem because I have a 1080 Ti. So I can play 4K most games, the majority of them at 60 frames, at a steady 60 frames per second. That is what my dual monitors are right now. They're 4K 60 hertz monitors. And I'm fine with it. I don't feel a pressing need in the next 2 years to try and upgrade it. Like I already told you my plan. My plan is to wait until Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk comes out, I'm balling out. Balling out. I'm going all in. Latest and greatest everything at that point. But for the next 2 years, my current setup is fine. And 99.9% of the people out there, unless you purposely were waiting for these 2080 cards, your rig's probably fine too. You know what I'm saying? So I can't justify spending $1,200 for that Ti. I just, there's no way. Even the 2080 at $800, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's wonderful tech. And here's one other thing. We don't know the real benchmarks yet because NVIDIA is shifting to a ray tracing model to justify all their benchmarks, because that's what these cards are for, is for ray tracing. And that's new tech. Not a lot of games are supporting it. Obviously, 11. Battlefield 5.
Only 11 titles that
are exactly supporting it. Yeah. Things like, you know, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Metro Exodus, Battlefield 5. And that's the other thing. Not enough games are currently supporting ray tracing, in my opinion, to want to go run out and go get it. And until people like Jay's Two Cents, and he had a fantastic video, by the way, explaining all this stuff recently. You should check out his channel on YouTube. But until those type of guys that I trust, you know, Linus, you know, those guys come out and actually have hardware Canucks, people like that, have the card, and they're giving their justification on, here's the specs, here's the benchmarks on the current modern game, so I can do a head-to-head comparison with my 1080 Ti. Even then, I really can't consider it because, like I said, my wife would probably divorce me if I bought it. But then at least you know, would it be worth it or not if money wasn't an object, if I want to get it. I'm leaning towards, even once the benchmarks come out, yeah, you're going to see a frame rate bump. But I'll just take The Witcher 3, for example. Okay, let's say Witcher 3, I'm doing 61 frames per second consistently. And now with the 2080 Ti, I'm doing 75. Is that really worth $1,200 to me? No, it's not. And that's how you got to start logically thinking about this. If once you're getting past that 60 frames per second, unless you got the monitor to actually support it, especially because we're talking 4K at this point, you know, 1440p and all that. No, you're just throwing money away. Might as well just get a 1080 Ti because that can handle everything at 1440p, no problem. But once you start getting to the upper level 4K, once you get past 60 frames, now we're starting to talk G-Sync and high refresh rate. Those monitors cost more than the damn card. And that to me is the reason to hold off, because you're not going to see a benefit for it. It's just not today. 2 years from now, I probably will. Stop cutting me off. I ain't done. 2 years from now, then you might see a benefit, because I think the monitor prices will go down. See, you're trying to be Danny. I notice you do that a lot. You try to jump in when I'm talking. You wait. I wait when you talk.
No, you don't.
Actually, I do.
The thing is, I don't think even if you get the RT, even if you get the 2080 Ti, you're still not going to get the performance you want. I mean, they were demonstrating it at Gamescom. They were playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider at 1080p with a sub 40 frames per second average. You're paying $1,200 and you're not even getting 60?
Yeah, but that's unoptimized though. I don't pay attention to that stuff.
And then on top of that, other developers are only targeting 1080p 60 frames. If I can't get more than that on a $1,200 card, is it really worth the investment now? Although RTX is pretty, and it's, you know, the whole effect of, you know, being able to show that whole technology off, I think it's cool, but I just don't know if right now at $1,200, is it worth it? Is the benefit outweigh the serious cash outlay? I mean, that's a mortgage right there for people.
It is. And what's your thoughts, Danny? I'm dying to know.
Xbox One X.
And that's the other thing. Going back to ray tracing that you bring that up. we're not going to see mass adoption of ray tracing until the next Xbox and PlayStation 5, which they'll start taking advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? So when the consoles start doing it, then you're going to start seeing a ton of games doing it. But right now, it's just a niche market with PC gaming. So you're not going to see mass adoption.
All right, so let's go with fan mail. Here goes. It's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Pete, we got a couple voicemails.
Yes, we do.
I think we should play them.
All right, here we go. First one. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Juan from New York City. And I have a question about the Destiny 2 Forsaken expansion that's coming out in a couple of weeks. I've never really seen such a big game like Destiny where a prominent character like Kate Six, his fate is basically shown not even in-game, basically in trailers to, I guess, promote like the next installment of the game or whatever. I'd just like to have your guys' thoughts on how maybe that could have been implemented in Destiny 2 better. You know, like a mission where that occurs, where there's a cutscene, versus just having it like as a promotion for, the next DLC. I've never really seen that in any game. And if you ever have, you could use that as an example to compare. But I don't know. I don't really like that method. I wish it would have been done differently. I like your thoughts on that. Thanks.
Well, thank you for your call, Juan. I don't know. I don't even know if I have I can even contribute to this. Again, it's Forsaken, Destiny stuff. I don't have a problem with it, honestly, though. I mean, I am totally okay with them showcasing his life expectancy as the precursor, so you know what you're getting into as soon as you walk into Forsaken.
For some reason, that kind of remind me of the way how Microsoft marketing Halo 5 with thing on TV that was even in the game. Is that kind of the same? Because I don't play Destiny at all. But Paris, you correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, please tell me. Wasn't it kind of similar, the same thing, or the same way, or no?
Wait, say it again. I'm confusing what you're asking me.
He's saying, did Microsoft market Halo 5 with like the death of Master Chief?
Oh, yeah, okay.
In a similar vein as this, we've seen it before.
Yeah, I was thinking about that actually when I first heard that voicemail. It's not the same as a death, but it was fake marketing for Halo 5 that we're seeing this big is Master Chief a villain now? Has he gone rogue and all that? That was kind of the big marketing. And then that old Luke Cage was chasing him down. And we found out that wasn't exactly the case. Obviously, I'm the one that can answer this because I'm the one that plays the game and follows all the stuff that goes on. So here's the thing. They marketed Cade 6 dying. They did it during the marketing because that's not what the game is about, him dying. You're literally, that's your opening mission, because I got to play that mission when he died at E3. So they're telling you this up front because that isn't the surprise, but it's the marketing hook to get you interested. They're like, oh my God, the most popular NPC character in the game is dying and he's not going to come back. You know, what are the repercussions of that? We're going to get this tale of revenge and all that. So I'm okay with them doing this because they've let us know way ahead of time. So there's no assumptions. There's no, okay, they're just going to do Cade 7 at the end. They're like, they've been very clear. They're not doing that. Cade is dead and he's not coming back. So what does that mean for Destiny? I think it gives them an amazing opportunity to start building up new characters and give us something else to care about. Because let's be real. The only NPC character we cared about in Destiny was Cade. He was the only fully fleshed out character that they had. And I think they realized that was a problem overall. And after all the problems that Bungie has had over the past year with Destiny 2, and I'm sure the lack of interest in pre-ordering Forsaken, they knew they needed to do something drastic to try and garner interest. And that's what this was with Cade. So I'm fine with it. I think, again, there's a lot of surprises. Like, we know that Uldren's the one that kills him. I don't think we're killing Uldren in Forsaken. I think Uldren will live. I think we'll find out that there's a method to his madness, and he's going to wind up being some type of anti-hero. Also, the queen, Mara, they have not talked about her at all. We know the queen is in this game somewhere. She's going to play a factor into this as well. Varix is in this. They've talked about him very sparingly. He'll probably play a big factor as well. So again, going back to my original point, I think it's okay to promote the death of a big character. Look at the death of Superman, because we know that animated movie is coming from DC right now, Death of Superman. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're letting you know Superman gonna die at the end of this, right? Look at Infinity War. They made it very clear. Thanos is gonna get all them damn stones and he's gonna snap his finger. But even though knowing that going into the movie, when we got to that end scene and he said, "You should have gone for the head," I'm like, it still was a shocking moment, even though you knew it was going to happen. So, you know, when you look at it from that standpoint, yeah, I think it's fine that they promote that Cade's going to die, because it gives me the thought that, wow, they must be sitting on something way bigger than Cade dying if they're willing to give that away for free in the marketing.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. Great. P, you want to say anything else, or you want to go to
We go to the next one. We've got a couple more, so.
All right, let's go.
Hey, what's going on, Pete, Danny, and Terrace? I hope you brothers are doing phenomenal, by the way. This is Keon calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Guys, I just had a quick question for you. Danny, I want to say I think it's amazing, you know, that you're actually looking for something else, you know, dealing with podcasting. Once again, an amazing story that you're looking to the gaming industry. I think you would do excellent in that field. And, you know, it got me to thinking, and I can't leave Pete out. Well, I don't know what you're up to at the moment, Pete, but I'm sure you're probably brewing with some ideas as well. But it really got me to thinking, guys, and I'm only asking this because I absolutely love Gamertag Radio so doggone much. I look forward to it every single week, every week. And this is the only reason why I'm asking this, is because of that. But is, and forgive me if I am kind of stepping over my boundaries by asking this question, but is this the end possibly of Gamertag Radio? I know that's probably very aggressive and probably not true, but it looks like you guys are kind of somewhat trying to find other paths to go down, and I support it 100%. But usually when this happens, it's like, oh man, on the outside looking in, it's like, man, is the group breaking up? Is the band going their own separate ways to start their own career paths, you know, solo? So I just wanted to know, and you guys might not even answer this, and I know that Paris, you said it's a 50-50 chance. Danny, you're doing your thing. Anyway, I'm rambling way too long. This message is way, way too long. But with that being said, man, guys, I love the show. You guys are absolutely amazing, man. And just keep up the incredible, incredible work. With that being said, oh, by the way, Danny, congratulations on your award. Just saw you on Twitter. It was awesome, brother. All right, I'm out of here, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
2 minutes and 29 seconds. Keon is the undisputed champion of long voicemails.
Yeah. You know, I want to answer this. I think ever since we've been posting on Twitter, oh yeah, we're looking for a job, we're applying here and there, people think that we're about to like end GTR and stuff. And I'm going to be real with you guys. Like I've been unemployed now for the past almost 2 years now. And you know, I've been really focusing on, you know, on GTR, doing a lot of traveling and doing other things and stuff. And, you know, just lately I've been just applying to different job openings, something different that is not gaming. But no, it's not going to be the end of GTR. The thing is, you know, look, we're not a major major company where, like, compared to like other shows out there, I wish we could do this full time, but you know, I got bills to pay. P and Paris the same, you know, they have family, they have also have bills to pay. And I just want to try new things, man. You know, I've been involved with like TV for years. You know, when I started GTR, I was working for Discovery Channel, Latin America. I was there for, oh my God, for years, man. I was there. But I just want to try something new. I know in one of my tweets, I posted that I've been applying for different podcast job openings. That's, I can't mention the name of the companies and stuff, but yeah, I've been experimenting, man, just applying to see if there's any bigger opportunity for me. And at the same time, I want to, like, I feel like I have a mission. Like, I want to try something new, educate people on the things that we do, you know, when it comes to podcasting. I want the industry to grow. And in order for me to do that, I need to get in that industry to make that change, you know. But is it going to be the end of GTR? No, I don't see that happening. But I can see why from the outside people are freaking out. They see the tweets from Paris applying to all these places, and he's talking about it on Twitter. I've been doing the same thing. Maybe P's doing too behind the scenes. And people shouldn't freak out. I think we'll be fine. Guys?
You're going to have to kick me off this bus. I'm not leaving. No.
Okay. Okay.
Now I'm not going anywhere. I have my own job right now, so I'm okay. It doesn't interfere with GTR in any way, shape, or form. My bosses even know about it, so it's not a big deal. They even joke about it in team meetings and stuff like that. So I'm not going to worry about it. It's not as long as it's not disturbing my personal life, my employment, I'm okay mm-hmm. with it, mm-hmm. and I don't see why it would. So unless there's a conflict in any way, shape, or form, I'll be here arguing with Danny, getting enhanced, and playing PUBG.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And honestly, this is why we always mention, hey, if you guys can, donate, buy shirts at the store, subscribe on Twitch. Because with that money, we use that money for stuff for GTR, best, you know, better audio equipment, and so on, traveling, maybe you want to eat or whatever like that. Every time you listen to the podcast and do those things, you're actually helping us. You know, like I said, I've been unemployed for almost 2 years and I've been really focusing on this, but P and Paris still have their full-time jobs and also doing GTR at the same time, you know? So that's why I always say, man, if you ever get the chance to support us in any way, that's the main reason, is because, you know, I wish we could do this full time, but we can't, you know? So, Paris?
I feel like I basically already explained myself at the end of last week's show. I'm not going to repeat that again. I've made it clear on my reasonings for even kind of dipping my toe and looking into jobs in the gaming industry. But like I said, it's the chances of it happening is less than 50% in my personal opinion. Cause number one, you got to pay me cause I live a certain lifestyle and I ain't changing that. And, my family obviously plays a big factor into this. If I'd have to move all that, they'd have to be a part of it. But no, I mean, I don't see GTR ending. The only way I would stop doing GTR is if there was a direct conflict of interest. And like I said, I think there's a less than 50% chance of that happening. So I'm not overly concerned, but the thing really comes down to this. You don't know if you don't try, and that's it. I'm just kind of putting feelers out there and seeing, you know, I don't know what opportunities would even be available to me. And if I'm not vocal about it, and if I'm not applying, if I'm not trying, I won't know. I will say this. I would not take just any job in the industry. I'm very particular on who I would want to work with, you know, versus, hey, I'm in the industry now and working at company X. I'm very specific on who I would want to work with. And it's not just video games, excuse me, that I'm interested in either. There's other opportunities that I've explored as well, but gaming obviously is a passion of mine. So it's something I've looked at, but what I've realized in my 44 years on this planet is, yeah, I'm good at what I do in my career, and yeah, I'd take care of my family, and that's goal number one, but I would love to blend passion with career. And that's what I'm kind of exploring, because let's be real, I only got about 21 years left of employment before I'm considered an old geezer and I have to retire. So make that the best 21 years I have. That's how I kind of look at it. So I would love to obviously to stay part of GTR. That isn't like I'm not double middle fingers going F these guys. I can't wait to get the hell out of here. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying, you know, go after something you're passionate about. And that goes for anybody. You know, like I said at the top of the show, live your best life. That's all it is. And right now being a part of GTR since 2013. So I guess this is what five, God, I can't believe it's been like 5 years, but being a part of GTR and even going earlier than that, like I said, Danny obviously was a big influence for me to even get into this in the first place. And, you know, we've all been brothers and friends for well over a decade at this point. That's been a part of my best life. So it isn't even a thing of I don't want to be a part of GTR. I think it needs to break up. We need to move on. Trust me, if we could do this and make it a career, we would. But that's just not realistic for the three of us. So, you know, we do this as a hobby and as a passion. And then we obviously got to do other things to pay the bills. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, totally agree, man. So, yeah, thanks, Keon, for sending us that question. And everybody's listening, you know, if you want to support us, you know, go to Twitch, go to donate.gamertagradio.com or store.gamertagradio.com if you want to support us in any way. So but thanks, and for those who are listening, don't freak out. It's not the end of GTR. We're just trying to do new things, man. So don't freak out. All right, so I think we're gonna end it, because I have a couple of things to do, and also the guys too. So I think we're going to save the other voicemails for another episode, and also emails too. Anything else you guys want to say before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. Next Friday is Ozark season 2. I can't wait.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be an after show. I got to go to the gym after this, and I know Paris needs to bolt out, I think.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. Head over to gamertagradio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast. Go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. Make sure to, if you can, post a review, share with your friends, spread the word about GTR, and so on. Until next time, we're out. Peace. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.